Hello, and welcome to Season 2 of The Love Podcast with me, Pip.
And me, Sharon. In this second season, we're sharing conversations we've had with each other. We'll be covering a range of topics, talking about ways in which we can all love better as Christians and become more like Jesus.
We're really keen to connect with you even more this season. So if you don't already, please follow us at The Love Podcast on Instagram and share all your thoughts in the comments. Enjoy the episode. Hi, and welcome to episode 2, season 2.
Yes.
Of The Love Podcast.
Yes, glad to be back.
Real glad to be back. And today we are talking about red flags.
Yeah.
In relationships.
Okay, so what is a red flag, in case someone doesn't know?
It's a sign that you shouldn't take things further.
Mm-hmm.
That you should get out. Hashtag Daniel Kaluuya. Absolutely. Run for the hills. Flee. Get out of there. Scram! Yeah. And studies show, we've done a bit of research, studies show that there are 8 core signs, or 8 red flags, key red flags for, you know, a sign to get out of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So number one is when you find yourself continually justifying bad behaviour. What does that look like?
You would decide this as an individual. So I'm speaking from my personal point of view.
Yeah.
And that is like rudeness. Mm. So things for me, it's like small things like you know, I've called you and you don't call me back.
Mm.
And you just don't call me back. And yeah. Then I call you again and you just don't call me back. Like, I do have a rule where I try and just call someone once, because, you know, everyone's busy, everyone's, you know, we all lead busy lives, so I would hope that that person would have the courtesy to, when they're not busy, to see a missed call from me and call me back. Or if I've arranged to that we're going somewhere and, you know, I'm waiting for a call from you to arrange the time that we meet there, or the time that you're picking me up, I get ready and I'm just sat there waiting,
basically.
Ready. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Ghosting. That to me is a red flag.
So as we're talking, I'm thinking to myself that not only is that a red flag in a romantic context, but it's also a red flag in life in general. It's a friendship red flag.
Oh, it is like it's a bugbear for me. I mean, thankfully, I don't actually have any friends that display that behaviour. Mm. But I think, you know, ghosting in the modern age is like is acceptable behaviour.
It's unacceptable. It's rude. It's rude.
Yeah,
it's rude.
That's
it's
why
rude.
I said it's down to the individual, because some people will be listening saying, no, it isn't.
No, it is. Uncle Pip tells you it's rude. It's rude. It is total rudeness.
Anyway, what's the next red flag?
Next one. They don't talk through issues.
Okay, yeah.
Which is basically poor communication.
Right? Yeah.
Poor communication.
But I mean, you know, that was probably a red flag for you. For me, when we were dating. Because, you know, I think as well that can be down to upbringing.
Yeah.
So if you've grown up in a family that doesn't communicate effectively and hasn't taught you to kind of talk about issues in a loving and healthy way, that's something that has to be learned.
Yeah.
So I think, as we're going through these red flags, it's very much down to, you know, the individual. Because I think there's almost a danger of red flag, right? Chop.
Yeah, chop.
See you later.
Uncle Pip told me, Daniel Kaluuya, get
you're
out.
Gone. You're gone. So I think, you know, there has to be an element of wisdom applied, yeah, but also grace as well. Because if they're doing everything else right, but they don't know how to communicate on an issue, okay, maybe that's somewhere where you can help them and you can bring them along. But I think that's why, you know, healthy friendships are so important, because I think these are things that you can model in your friendships, so that then when you are looking to get into a relationship, you've had that foundation built of knowing what is healthy and what you are prepared to stand for.
Yeah, yeah, 100%, 100%. It's good stuff. Number three, constantly testing boundaries. And I think for me it's the big one, because, you know, boundaries covers a myriad of topics and issues. But a big one is purity, right? And we kind of, and we touched upon this on episode one, where, you know, we were talking about bad guys and some of them kind of do camouflage and pretend to be Christian or kind of say, oh, yeah, I go to church. But you're generally revealed by your fruit, right? Your fruit will tell. And so if you're dating a guy who claims that he's Christian, but when you're in the movies, his hands are going where they shouldn't be going, or you invite him round to Netflix and chill, and he takes that as code for something else, and you're like, you've got the popcorn, you're like, no, I just wanted to watch a film, and he's like, show me where the bedroom is, baby. Do you know what I mean? He's testing the boundaries, and it's probably at that point that you're like, nah. Daniel Kaluuya said, "Get out." Do you know what I mean?
But I think the key really is in the words there. So they can only test something that has been put into place. They can only test a boundary that you have put into place. So I guess that is kind of a red flag to set those boundaries from the beginning.
Definitely. Yeah, you're absolutely right. If you've communicated those boundaries or you've made them clear, but they're still chancing their arm and trying it, that's a huge red flag, right? That's ultimately dismissive and disrespectful of what you've put in place to protect yourself, whether that's your purity, whether that's your mental health, whether that's your safety. You've put that in there to protect you. And if they're trying to encroach upon that, they gotta go. Number four, there is a massive sense of entitlement. You're offering Burger King, they want Birkin bag.
Guys can be entitled as well.
This is not female bashing or male bashing.
You want to watch I don't know,
Champions League every time. Nothing wrong with that.
So again, I guess it boils down to the individual. But I think one thing about these red flags is I think they won't just come up once. If it's a problem, it'll like, you know, keep on popping up. So it's just, I guess, like, you know, you don't want to kind of be making a checklist against someone, but you've got to guard your heart. So I think just, you know, going in at 5 miles an hour instead of 50 miles an hour will help you to just see these things kind of creeping up.
100%. And to stretch the car analogy a little bit further, for me, a red flag is when the engine warning light comes on. It doesn't just come on and then go. It comes on continuously. So that tells you that there's a problem in the engine. Do you know what I mean?
So true.
All good. Right, number five. Something in your gut feels wrong about it. You can't put your finger on it, but there's something in your waters that just doesn't flow in this particular direction. And there's another description for that, and that's the Holy Spirit, right?
So it's good to just be sensitive to those promptings and to you know, to not ignore them, because you can actually keep on, you know, turning off your warning lights on your car. Just to stay alert and to just make sure that you're not being led by your emotions, because your emotions will lie to you. And I mean, you know, we're saying this sitting here doing a podcast. It's not because we haven't kind of we haven't ignored red flags ourselves. Absolutely we have. But yeah, it's just to, you know, have a discussion about these particular points. I mean, so far, what would be a red flag for you? You know, what have you experienced as a red flag? Are these even red flags for you? Would they bother you?
maybe you think that, you know, all good girls should get a Birkin bag.
I know I do. What's the next one?
The next one is everything is about them.
Yeah.
And I think this is a red flag across the board, right? Romantic relationships, friendships.
Yeah.
If you're pouring in to something and the other person is just taken out for them, that's draining, right? Do you know what I mean? That's draining. And I think there's very limited bandwidth and longevity when the other person in any kind of ship, whether it's relationship, friendship, courtship, whatever, is just focused on themselves. That's not going to work. Any kind of, you know, relationship, certainly from a romantic perspective, is a partnership. It's two people coming together. It's teamwork. And if one person's kind of focused on themselves, it's not the dream. It's not going to work.
And we've heard a preach from one of our pastors, Pastor Toppe at Jubilee Church. Shout out Jubilee Church London. And he spoke about different categories of friendship. And it's not about kind of, you know, cutting those people off who are draining you, but it's about recognizing that that is what the friendship is. And so then you just kind of, you know, put that friendship in its appropriate position. So you wouldn't necessarily have one of those type of people as someone who's like really close to you, because you don't want them to be, you know, draining you out, but you might have them more so as like an acquaintance and, you know, obviously someone in your life who you'd be praying for and, you know, perhaps even helping them through certain situations. But I guess it's just recognizing that perhaps a close or intimate relationship with that person is not really wise, because selfishness is not
the one. I've just been reflecting. I think we've had a couple of preaches on this sort of thing. Matt and TJ, shout out Matt, shout out TJ. I'm just going through the archives of my mind and remembering. So we've definitely been schooled on this, that's for sure. Next one, when they're overly critical about previous partners, or I guess by extension, and they're overly critical about people they were friends with historically, but now they no longer are. You know, if it's always about the other person being the cause of the friendship or the relationship breaking down, and it's always the other person, and they're perfect. They didn't do anything to kind of contribute to the ending of that particular interaction. I don't know. I would tread carefully, particularly when they're always overly critical. You know, at any given opportunity, then they're talking about, oh, well, Susan did, and it's like, really?
That's actually off a Sex and the City episode, actually. Do you remember when she started going out with that guy? And he was Berger.
Oh, yeah.
And he was great up until it came to the subject of his ex-girlfriend. Yeah. And he lost his mind.
He lost his marbles.
He lost his mind. Yeah, and I mean, you could just see it in Carrie, the character's face. Hopefully a lot of you know you know, what Sex and the City was. It was a TV program. But yeah, you could just like kind of see it in her face. And even though it was such a like, it was a red flag on fire, like literally a bonfire, she still proceeded with the relationship. And surprise, surprise.
Car crash.
Yeah.
Car crash. So yeah, that's one to bear in mind. And the final one of this initial list of eight, which I think is a really important one, they constantly deny, criticise or dismiss you. Which is just, they're continually doing that. You know, it just goes back to that point I made earlier on about, you know, a relationship being a partnership. You know, it's about building each other up privately and publicly. But it's about presenting a united front, not you know, just posting cute pictures on social media for the likes and for the hashtag couple goals. But it is actually about being united and coming together and building each other up. But if one party, or worst case scenario, both parties are pouring toxicity into that situation by continually criticising or smothering or denying them or not giving them the bandwidth or the space to express themselves. I think that's a huge red flag. And Daniel Kaluuya tells you to get out. Get out of there.
I think for me, this is probably like one of the biggest ones, because I think this one can be so subtle that you don't even realise it. And just to bring like scripture into it, it really, just talking about these red flags, just brought me to Matthew 10:16, and it says, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." And I think that we should never forget that, you know, we are living in the world. So people have different agendas, and we shouldn't always think that people have our best interests at heart. It's not to be cynical, but it is to be wise as serpents.
Definitely.
So I think you've just got to again just, you know, apply a degree of wisdom, have that accountability amongst your friendship groups. I'd say as well, like, you know, if we are talking about from a relationship aspect, because I know that we've touched on these red flags that apply to friendships as well, but if we are talking about relationships, and if it is someone that you're newly dating, you know, bring them around your friends as much as possible, because your friends aren't emotionally invested in this relationship. You are. But I would definitely say, like, try as much as you can to get to know this person in a group context, and try and, you know, to put those boundaries in place, reduce the amount of kind of alone time that you perhaps have with this person right at the beginning, whilst you're just getting to know them. Because, you know, if you're rolling with the right people, they often are good judges of character. Absolutely. And they are often able to see things that perhaps you wouldn't, because you are emotionally invested in the, you know, proposed relationship. I think that in any situation, a red flag doesn't necessarily mean like cut and run. It just kind of highlights an issue that needs to be dealt with and addressed. And I think going back to the red flag of communication, you know, communication is key. So hopefully the communication isn't the red flag, because
do you know what? To be fair, you know, let's circle back to that one, because I think for whatever reason, whether by design, whether by a cultural influence or whatever, I think guys are almost encouraged not to talk about their feelings. And look, this has been highlighted massively over recent weeks and months. You know, mental health campaigns and the encouragement of men to talk about their feelings and to kind of let it all out. But historically, you know, that hasn't been the default position of most men, certainly most men that I've come across. But the key differentiator for me is a man who is resolute and set in his ways and has almost internalized the fact that he is a poor communicator. And so that's never going to change. Versus the man who is acutely aware that actually he struggles to talk things through, but is willing to learn. And is willing to kind of, you know, go on the journey with potential girlfriend, someone who is dating, someone who's interested in him, a friend, whatever. And it's like, right, okay, I'm willing to learn, I'm willing to grow, I'm willing to shed that and move forward. There's a massive difference between the two.
100%, 100%. I think that's key, really, because as I mentioned before, you know, these red flags, that it's all down to the individual, you know, your own individual circumstances, you know, your backgrounds and all those things. And I don't think red flags, I know you've been joking about get out. I don't think, you know, singular red flags or even reoccurring red flags necessarily need to be like the end of a relationship. I think it all, you know, it comes down to wisdom. Is this something that could be worked through, like with you and I, you know, we have over the years worked through our communication 100%. And we still are. And I think it's important to always remember that no one is a finished article. So whatever kind of friendship or relationship, things are going to have to be worked through. But I guess it's important that you're both on the same page and that you both see it as something to be worked through to come out of the other side stronger.
Absolutely. Absolutely spot on. And so as we start to wrap up, what other red flags are there that we haven't touched upon so far? A lack of generosity. I know I joked about kind of the Birkin bag, but you know, if you're on the first date and when it comes to that time of paying. I'm a traditionalist. I'm a traditionalist. And I think the guy, you know, should handle responsibility and pay. Certainly get his wallet out and pay. But if he's like looking at the floor, or if he's, I'm just going to go and make a call, and he doesn't come back until the waiter's taken the bill from you and you've paid and he magically reappears, that's a red flag. That is a red flag. Another one, harshness of tongue. They're not kind. You know, words are very powerful, and if their words are always tearing down and not building up, that's a red flag. And for me, a huge one is a lack of integrity, right? Now, the root word of integrity is integer. Integral means wholeness, which basically means integrity basically means someone is the same throughout, irrespective of the audience. So the way they are with the senior pastor at the church is the same way they are with, you know, the person they pass on the street, or the individual begging for money, or their boss, or their partner at home. There's no compartmentalization of life. They're just whoever they are continuously. And if you've noticed that they change, depending on who the audience is, depending on who they're speaking to, I think that speaks to a deeper root of a lack of integrity. And I'll certainly tread carefully and do further due diligence, if that's a relationship, before diving at the deep end.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for you guys, what red flags have you seen? Do you even think that these are red flags?
Absolutely.
You know, follow us on Instagram at The Love Podcast and let us know what you think. What are the biggest red flags you've ever come across?
Absolutely. Let us know.
Let us know.
We're keen to know.